Thanks for the introduction, Jan. All right, well, the title of my teaching is called Freedom from Debt. Now, I'm not up here to tell you how to get out of debt and pay off your mortgage and get rid of your credit cards and chop up all that stuff. However, it is a really great analogy for how we deal with sin. And I'm not going to be up here and preach about sin either. So don't worry, you didn't come to a Baptist church this morning. We're good, you're forgiven. But I'm sure everyone in this room is acquainted with debt. You've had debt in some form of your life at some point in time, whether it's student loans, you own a home, you have a credit card, you bought a new car, you borrowed money from somebody. Everybody, I think, safely in this room can say, yes, I have had debt, or yes, I have debt, or yes, I have a lot of debt right now. I always used to take pride in the fact that I didn't have any debt. But then I got married, and then I had a child, and now I'm having a second child, and it's just, you know, the debt keeps adding up. We bought a house, we bought a new car, we gotta buy another new car. It just is kind of the world that we live in right now. And there's a lot of different ways that people deal with debt. A lot of people are ashamed that they have debt. They're ashamed that they can't pay their bills and that they have to borrow money to provide for their family or to meet certain needs that they have. Some people are in denial that they have debt. They just keep spending and spending and spending without regards to the consequences of having a lot of debt and not facing your debt. But there's also people who address their debt and say, okay, I have debt. How do I get rid of it? I need some help. And God has really been teaching me over the last couple weeks, because Stephen and I have had to rework our debt. We're refinancing our home. We're buying a new vehicle. God's really been teaching me through the process of working through our debt that our debt spiritually has been fully paid. It is completely paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I can't tell you how many times God said that in manifestations today. He really wants you to understand that he paid an enormous price for our lives and for our hearts and the debt that we actually all have. You might think that you're a good person, but in Romans it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single person, no matter how good you are, how many good deeds you do, it doesn't matter. You have debt. It's called sin. And you were born with it. I mean, Elizabeth, she's 16 months, and she's a sinner. Can you believe that? I can. No, she's wonderful. She's like the sweetest kid ever. But she does sin. She disobeys. She likes to have her way. When she doesn't get it, she puts up a fit, just like we do, even though we're adults. So that's going to be what my teaching is about today, is how do we deal with the sin that we do have. I think we all understand that, yes, Jesus Christ paid the price for us, and the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 6:23. I think we all understand that we have been saved from death, and we are now, we have life. We have eternal life. We have been bought back from the adversary. I think we all understand that when you believed on Jesus Christ. However, I think that the adversary often talks us out of that on a daily basis with our daily sins and our daily need to be forgiven and to be paid for the debt that we do every day, because we still have the old man nature. Yes, we've been bought back. Yes, we are spiritual beings, but we still have flesh and blood, which means we're still going to sin on a daily basis. And daily, we need to remember and deal with it. So, would you please turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of grace." The word redemption here means releasing effected by payment of ransom. So essentially, we were ransomed and Jesus Christ paid the price, and we are now released. Forgiveness in that verse means release from bondage. We're free. If you think about debt in the worldly sense, it's a type of bondage a lot of times. You know, you have these responsibilities and you just feel this heavy burden. You know, I got to pay this bill. I have to pay this bill. Oh, I owe this person money. You get really burdened down and you become enslaved sometimes to that debt that you have. Well, the same thing is true with our sins sometimes, that often we are in bondage to them and we become enslaved, and that's exactly what the adversary wants. But that is not at all what God wants, and it's not what Jesus Christ wants. That's why they paid the price. But we have to realize that we don't need to be in bondage to the sin. There's no need, and we can get out of it. And it's all through Christ and the ransom that he paid. So there's three ways that people deal with debt. I said it briefly. First one is to hide away because of shame. Second one is to either blame others or deny it. And the third one is to address it and ask for help. So, the first one, you're ashamed by your debt. You're ashamed by your sin. Maybe you have a problem that you just keep doing over and over and over again, and you're ashamed that you can't be delivered from this sin. Well, you can be delivered, but one of the first setbacks that happens is you begin to condemn yourself, and you don't think you have the capabilities to overcome it, or that you're not worthy enough to even be forgiven from something. So let's see what God has to say about it. Romans 8. Probably everyone knows this verse by heart, but we still need to tell it to ourselves over and over again. Chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." I can't say it any other way. With God, there's no condemnation. He knows we're going to sin. He knows we're going to blow it. But he doesn't condemn us for it. And he doesn't want you condemning yourself for it either. That's why he paid the price. Let's skip down to verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." Did we hear that today during manifestations, that we are made in his image and that we are already made like Jesus Christ? Yeah. "That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or debt or sin or unforgiveness or bitterness or anger or wrath? Who is going to separate us? What is going to separate us? There is no sin, there is no debt that can possibly separate us from the love of God. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor debt, nor da-da-da-da-da, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's what God has to say about dealing with debt and being ashamed. Nay, there is no condemnation. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, ever. It doesn't matter. So if that's how you deal with debt, you feel ashamed, is that how you deal with sin? This is God's answer for you. You don't need to deal with it like that. You just need to come to me, acknowledge what has been done, and it's covered. No condemnation, nothing separating us. Let's get back in fellowship and keep moving forward. Okay, I don't need to talk anymore about that one. The second way that we deal with debt often is we are in denial about having debt or having sin, and a lot of times we start to blame others. It's like keeping up with the Joneses. A lot of people go into tons and tons of debt because they're trying to be like somebody else. They're trying to put forth an image because they want to fit in. They want to be cool, and so they spend what they don't have. They live beyond their means. And they end up denying the fact that they have debt. And it gets them into a lot of trouble. The other thing with dealing with sin sometimes is that we have a tendency to blame other people or point out other people's sins without acknowledging our own. And when I was looking into this, God really showed me that to be forgiven, you must also forgive. Many times where God talks about having your own forgiveness, it's always in relationship to forgiving others. Luke 6:37 says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." So being forgiven yourself is tied very intimately with being able to forgive other people. And that can be a very difficult thing to do. It's very easy for us as people to get our feelings hurt or to feel wronged. It happens all the time. Elizabeth already feels wronged. When I say no and she wants something, she feels wronged. You know, it's part of our old man nature that it's very difficult to forgive others. But when we forgive others their debt to us, it really helps your heart more than it does them. And when we don't forgive others, the debt actually just starts piling on ourselves. Because what happens when we don't forgive others, we open the door for the adversary to start telling us lies about the other person, about ourselves. Oh, that person, you know, they didn't listen to me. They must think they're all that. And you start thinking poorly of the other person. Or you start thinking poorly of them, of yourself. Why didn't they listen to me? That hurt my feelings. Maybe I don't have anything to offer. That's a lie, straight from the adversary. But without acknowledging what happened and without forgiving, that's the doors that get opened up. And it's very dangerous. It's very hurtful for you and the other person. And it's not how God desires for us to live at all. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. One of the first verses I learned when I was a kid, besides children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, The second verse I learned was Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and it says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So once again, forgiving others is tied in with your own forgiveness right here. But when I was looking at this verse, God said, okay, go up a few verses. Because this is what happens when you don't forgive people. We'll start in verse 22. "That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts." The old man doesn't want to forgive. The old man thinks it's all about me. I've been wronged. They're the ones who are wrong. That's old man. Me, me, me. New man, all about Christ. All about God. Verse 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." See, when we hold on to unforgiveness, it's easier to start letting those lies into your mind or even confessing lies about other people. Because have you ever heard the saying, the hurt hurt? When you are hurting, you have a tendency to hurt other people. And a lot of times that can be through lies. Not always intentional, but just you start confessing things because you're hurt. They're not true. And God says, put it away. Put away lying. Verse 26, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Do we get angry when we get hurt? Yeah, God says, be angry, but sin not. Don't add up the debt on your account when somebody else owes you. "Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." How often when we're hurt do we go talking to somebody else and we allow that corrupt communication to come out of our mouth? And it's probably not very edifying to the person hearing it or to the person you're talking about. And all of this can result from keeping that door open of not forgiving. This is huge. This is huge for God's people, especially in light of wanting to fellowship and walk in love in the one body of Christ. We can't allow this to be in our lives. It is the adversary's main goal to split us up and to cause division and to cause hurt. But God offers another way. He says, forgive. And you can forgive. It's possible. It's not possible of your own old man, old nature. It is only possible through Christ. Think in Corinthians, Paul says, I forgive, but I forgive in the person of Christ. It is only through Christ that you have the courage and the strength to be able to forgive people, to forgive their debt, and to accept the forgiveness of your own debt and your own sin. Let's keep going. Verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." God is making it really clear here what we are supposed to do. I can't emphasize enough that having a heart of unforgiveness, if that becomes a habit in your life, it will lead to bitterness. It will lead to resentment. It will lead to wrath and anger. And your physical body can even be affected by that. Chemically, your body can change and you can get sick because you're holding on to unforgiveness because you feel so wronged by somebody or situation. And God says, I don't want you to live like that. Jesus Christ paid the price so that you could be whole, you could be healed from that, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. 100% complete. But we have to be willing to acknowledge this, and we have to be willing to forgive. And I really feel that that is key to every believer right now in this room. And I think God really wanted me to share this today. So just putting it out there. Let's go to Matthew 18. Okay, that's not the right verse, but basically, yeah, just a pregnant moment, don't worry. The verse I wanted to talk about and go to is, how do you start the process of forgiveness? And thank you, I had 5 written down. Ah, okay, thanks, Barney. Okay, Matthew 18:15, I'll just read it. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. That's one of the first steps to dealing with this whole topic of forgiving, is you have to have the courage to go to the person who has wronged you. And that is a hard thing to do because you don't know how they're going to react. But I think a lot of times, we tend to get hurt and offended by people or their actions, and they don't even know it. It wasn't even their intent at all. And you won't know that, and they won't know that, until you guys are able to communicate and talk and have a relationship where you value each other enough and have the love of God in your heart where you can deal with it and you can talk about things. And if you're the one that someone is coming to you and saying, "You wronged me," sometimes we tend to go on the defense and say, "Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't know what you're talking about," or, "Oh, that's silly." And, you know, we start to put a wall up. But next time somebody goes to you and say, "Hey, you know, what you said really hurt my feelings," think about how much courage that person had to muster up and have God work in them to actually come and talk to you. And think about how much they love you, that they would value your life and your relationship with them enough that they would come and talk to you. It's a totally different way of thinking. Because a lot of times our first instinct is, "Hey, no, I didn't do anything wrong." Not always, but that happens a lot. And just remember that it's a hard thing to do to go to somebody and say, "Hey, you hurt me." But remember, God is with you. It's all about loving each other and that we can get through anything. If God be for us, who can be against us? And we are more than conquerors. So whatever has happened, no matter how big a wrong that has occurred, God can help everybody get through it. The one who wronged you and the person who was wronged. So just wanted to touch on that. All right, do you guys get it? We need to forgive. Okay. Then we can move on to the third way to deal with debt. And that we've already been doing. The third way is addressing debt. It's confronting it. It's acknowledging it. And it's asking for help. When we acknowledge that somebody else has wronged us, we are confronting it. We are bringing it to the light. When I acknowledge that I have a credit card payment due next month, and I pay it, I'm addressing it. Yay! We're moving forward. We're getting rid of the debt. So it's so important that we do acknowledge these debts that we have and other people have against us. And, you know, with the addressing the debt, be willing to admit when you're wrong. We have to be willing to admit that we blow it. And sometimes we get very prideful and we don't want to admit that we're wrong. And pride is a very dangerous thing in the Bible. You can look at Saul. He became very, very prideful, and it led to his demise. Pride is not something that God designed his people to have in their heart. He gave us humble hearts, hearts of compassion, hearts willing to say, you know what? I have an old man nature, and it's not great. But I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is within me, and that he is perfect, and he is beyond great. And that is who I identify with. It doesn't mean that we're prideful Christians, that we walk around saying that we don't sin. In fact, let's go to 1 John. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Our debt is paid. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So if you are walking around thinking you don't have debt, you're deceived. You do. The truth is not in us. Verse 9. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. There is something very powerful about going to God first and saying, God, I'm sorry. I blew it. I know you wanted me to do this and I said no. I'm sorry. I love you, and I am so thankful that you value my life enough that you would pay the perfect price of your son, Jesus Christ, for me. And in that moment, just that, I mean, God already knows. He knows what you've done. He knows what you're going to do, good and bad. But it is in our acknowledging and confessing that we do have debt, that we did sin, that we are then free. The healing takes place almost immediately. Because that burden, that weight is lifted from you. It's just like literally you have weights on your back. And until you say, okay, I have weights on my back. Here they are, God. And then they're gone. And you don't even have to throw them off. He'll come and take them off for you. You know, you don't have to worry about it. But there is something so powerful about confessing your sin to God. Not like going to a priest and confessing your sin. God says you can come directly to me. Just talk to me. He says over and over again, he wants to be in a relationship with us. He wants to have open communication. And that means open communication about the good and the bad. And along with the confessing of our sins, just to reemphasize, when you've wronged somebody else, it is so important to go to them, confess your sin, and acknowledge it, and get it out. Because it will free you, it will free the other person's heart, whether they're ready to forgive you or not. It is something that you need to do to be free from debt. And that is what this whole teaching is about, is being free from debt, the debt of sin and the burden that it places on our lives. But we don't need to live like that anymore. God wants us to be lighthearted. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be united, fellowshipping one with another, without having hurt hearts and bitterness and resentment and being the victim. He doesn't want that for us. That is not who we are in Christ. And let's close in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Your slate is clean. It's like somebody hands you a check and says, I'm going to pay off your mortgage for you. I don't know anyone who would not accept that. My hands would be wide open. Yes, please. Thank you very much. Praise God. Okay? We're a new creature. All things are become new. The old things are passed away. The sin is gone. acknowledge it, ask for forgiveness, it's gone. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled, he's brought us back together to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, not adding up their debts, not adding up sin. He doesn't do that. And he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We need to let other people know that this is available, that you don't have to live in debt. You don't have to live with the sin. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, I love you guys. Thank you very much. God bless you.